You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. And today, I'm going to be talking about that he's the same and that he has victory over darkness, and through him we have that as well. And I wanted to address this on this particular day, October 31st, because culturally it is Halloween. And Halloween, whatever your practices may be, it is among many. If you happen to have turned your TV on any point in the month of October, it is the time when people are very open and vulnerable when it comes to whether it be something like scary movies or spiritual things that would be towards the dark side. And while I believe many people engage with this in a way where it's like, it's just for fun, I really enjoy just the costumes, it's the spooky stuff, there is a very real opponent of our souls, the devil, who relishes the darkness, and most of, if not all, of what we see happening that's dark or evil or wrong in the world, at the very best, it's human flesh, but usually there are the evil spirited that are at work to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so this isn't going to be a message railing against a holiday. This is going to be a message that glorifies Jesus as the one in whom we have victory over darkness. And I couldn't help but address a couple of things as we head in this direction. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many times, especially when it comes to popular culture and movies or just the general vicinity of dealing with this topic, it's often presented as a good versus evil, dark versus light, God versus the devil, as though it's a versus. As though it's equal partners or equal opponents coming at each other, and who knows who's going to win. It could not be further from the truth. Not even close. While our culture would say we live in a dualistic society, or a dualistic where there's a power of good and a power of evil, and who knows what will prevail. Maybe if we put good thoughts and prayers towards the good, it will prevail. It's that type of a belief system. God tells us and reveals himself radically differently. There are belief systems that teach about the dualism. And one of them, we don't really do, there's not much of it happening in the United States, but Zoroastrianism believes in there is a one like force of good, another force of evil. Many of the Latin American animistic religions have this kind of idea of there's a good and a bad. And you think, well, that doesn't affect us. Another place that this shows up is in Star Wars. Star Wars has the dark side and the light side, and it really portrays it as, you know, which one's right. I'm sorry, this is a spoiler. And we see actually that, well, no, neither one. They just have to have a little bit of a mix. And our entertainment choices can have an effect on our theology and what we believe to be true about how things work in the spiritual realm. I can tell you that the Hollywood movie cultural portrayals of evil and darkness, they glorify darkness, and you also have to keep in mind that the devil is a liar, he's the father of all lies, and he wants to bully, he wants to intimidate, he wants to pressure, he wants to influence, he wants to make us afraid, he wants us to cower, he wants us to hide, you know, be afraid that I hope we never have to deal with anything of dark spiritual stuff. Let me tell you, if you don't recognize we are living in a world that is not a playground, but it is a battleground, you're going to be greatly surprised. Because it's not a choice whether or not we walk onto the battleground. No, it's like, I'd just rather stay on the playground. The whole human race, from the time going back to the Garden of Eden, is a battleground. You can't opt out. Well, what if you're not a Christian? Then you are not just a target. You are under the sway of the prince of this world, under the sway of the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, through whom Jesus came. Jesus came to die so that we can be delivered from that, the power of darkness, and turned over to the kingdom of light. It's incredibly important for us to keep in mind, regardless of what we've learned about darkness from our culture. And even as there are people who, not just for fun, we were talking the other day, I was at dinner with Aaron about back in the day, there was a young man in our youth group who was very eccentric. But he was eccentric with a bent and a focus on things that were evil. And most of what he would do kind of flew underneath the radar. And people think, oh, man, that's just so-and-so. He's being funny again. I recognized early on that this young man, though he was weird, though he was eccentric, he was also tapped into a dark spiritual force that he was learning how to, quote-unquote, control, because there is there's no controlling dark forces. They use you. But he was in the process of making himself a vessel for these forces of darkness. And there was a point where he and I had the battle, and it wasn't a dance battle, and it wasn't a who's dark and who's light. It was more of a him saying, I'm going to curse you, and I'm going to curse your family, I'm going to curse all these things. And I got to stand in his face and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, I rebuke you and I bind you, and you will do nothing. The forces of darkness, in Jesus' name, by the power of his blood, will have no effect on us. And there was nothing that happened. And it wasn't just because, well, you're a pastor and has to listen. That is the authority that comes to anybody who calls upon Jesus Christ as Lord. That when we are confronted with darkness, we do not have to run away and think, I hope I have enough here. Jesus has overcome death. He's overcome hell. He's overcome the forces of the enemy. The battle has been won, or the war has been won, but the battles are being fought. So God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, Jesus, there's these attributes that do not apply to the devil. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. He's everywhere. He's all-good. He never had a beginning. He just has been. The devil was an angel. Some people say he was an archangel. Some people say he was a high-ranking angel. But what we know was he was an angel who at some point wanted to be worshipped. And so he ascribed, he aimed for taking over heaven. And there was no battle where it was like, I wonder who's going to win, the devil or God. It says the devil was thrown from heaven and his place in heaven as one of the members of God's angelic hosts, and with him, one-third of those angels that were following him fell with him. And now what we experience when it comes to evil, when it comes to the things that are breaking loose on the planet, those are the evidences not of a God who doesn't care, but of an enemy of our souls who's at work looking to steal, kill, and destroy wherever he can. And those are things that Jesus himself came to undo or to destroy. The things about the devil: he's a created being, a very powerful created being, but a created being nonetheless. In the last day, when he's thrown into the lake of fire, there will be one angel that goes and grabs the devil and wraps him in chains and throws him into the lake of fire. It will not be God doing it. It will be an angel summoned by God to perform this. The devil, though he is powerful, has limited knowledge. He can only be in one place at one time. He cannot read your mind. He cannot know what's going on in your life. He cannot predict the future, though he attempts to influence the future towards darkness. If you've ever had a premonition or a bad dream of something that, oh, this is going to happen, this is, you know, maybe God's trying to show you something. No. The enemy offers up premonitions and an alternate future of death and destruction. And by the way, if you happen to have one of those things where I keep having this sense that something bad's going to happen, you can say in Jesus' name, I rebuke that future and I claim the hope in the future that my Savior has given to me. We don't have to start wondering, oh, somehow God's going to prepare me. I had a buddy who years ago came up and said, you know, I think my wife's going to die. And I said, how come? And he said, well, I had this dream. And then I feel like, you know, God showed me that there's this other person that I'm going to marry after she's dead. Yes. And I was like, what are you talking? And me and a couple other buddies, we prayed with him. And he came to this point where he realized, oh, the devil is attacking me, attacking my marriage. It's a spirit of murder that wants my wife to die and is attempting to get me already moving on, to give place to that thing, to think about it, and to act towards her as though here's a transition that's coming. And in prayer and in rebuking that and in choosing to walk in believing for God's hope in the future, that man is still married to his wife and they're thriving, and it's been 25 years. The devil lost his name when he was thrown from heaven. His name was Lucifer, the light bearer, star of the morning. He lost that name. Now he's called Satan, which means the adversary, the accuser, the one who stands against. He is the one who is truly has no name. Okay? The thing that the devil does more than anything else is he strikes out against God's creation, especially those that have been created in God's image. And it's the very thing that Jesus came to not only destroy the works of the enemy, the works of darkness, but he came to use us to be people who rescue, in the name of Jesus, other people from the kingdom of darkness and to bring them into the kingdom of light. He uses that very thing that the enemy hates so much as the source of the enemy's defeat every single day through the power of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Okay? So as we're going through this, there's things that we can note. When Jesus came, he came to restore and heal that which was broken when Adam and Eve had sinned. And as humanity is going down this road where really, it's the first commandment and only commandment in those who want to follow the dark one is, do as you want. Do whatever you want. It shows up in our culture, you know, even back in the day, when Frank Sinatra singing the song, I Did It My Way, and he's commended for that. That is the theme song of hell. I'm not saying Frank Sinatra is the theme song of hell. I'm saying the rebellion that is associated with, I'm going to do it my way and no one can stop me. Does that sound American to you? So, redirecting. There are times when we can think we're acting in freedom, but we're instructed in Galatians, don't let your freedom become an excuse to sin. Freedom is only found in the submission of ourselves to Christ. Just like an artist, to be truly learn how to embrace freedom, they have to learn boundaries of a canvas or a rock that they're going to sculpt. Otherwise, it's graffiti. If I just can't be limited by a canvas. I just got to paint the world. It's like you really want to see someone who's exercising freedom, they learn to function with boundaries on themselves as well, in submission to the one who gives hope, life, etc. Luke chapter 4 says Jesus came in fulfillment of Isaiah 61. He came to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to declare freedom to the captives, to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, to set the to do a work where captives who've been locked in the jails of darkness, to set them free. In 1 John 3:8, it says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10, Jesus said he came to give life in all of its fullness. John 3:16, he says he came to bring forgiveness of sins and eternal life and the source of the gospel good news. Matthew 28, he gave us authority to make and develop disciples because he has all authority. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, when he refused to bow to the devil when he was tempted, when he lived a sinless life, completely committed to God the Father, he conquered the devil. He conquered death. He conquered hell. I'm a big fan of Gary Larson, The Far Side. Anybody who was into The Far Side back in the day? You know, I love it when Gary Larson shows pictures of hell, and usually it's like these guys sitting around drinking coffee and it's like, man, they got this right. Coffee's cold. You know, that type of a thing. But no matter how our culture portrays, the devil is not in charge of hell. Jesus has the keys. And hell was never created for humanity. Hell was created for those angels that rebelled to be thrown and to be punished there. If God wanted, you know, for people, for that to be the case, he would never make a way for redemption to take place. That's why he says, now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. And we are to be about doing what Jesus would be and do if he was walking in our shoes. I want us to look at this. And what does it look like for us to stand in the light and to stand for Christ in our everyday life? This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to briefly touch on what it means to be strong in the Lord, to take our stand, to know the real enemy. Okay? So here we go. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. A little note here. This is talking about spiritual warfare, but really the best spiritual warfare you can engage in, and by the way, there's not a choice. If we're alive on this planet, you are a target. The enemy wants to steal from you, wants to kill you, wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if he can't keep you from that, he wants to keep you from the purposes that God made you for. When we obey Jesus, we are doing spiritual warfare. When we make choices to honor him above what we want to do in here, when we make choices to be obedient to Jesus instead of acting out in our flesh, when we extend mercy and compassion, when we ask for forgiveness and receive it, when we walk in grace, we are showing and doing battle against the enemy. We're showing that Jesus Christ lives inside of us and is transforming us by the power of his Spirit, because none of those things happen in the kingdom of darkness. It happens in the kingdom of light. We have a choice to do spiritual warfare. You can think, do I need to learn, you know, how to combat the devil? No, you need to stay close to Jesus. There's a story in the Bible about Paul the Apostle. One of the things that happened is he is carrying out his ministry. And when you think ministry, most of the time you think of him, people standing on a stage talking. Paul did most of his ministry on his lunch hour. Because during the day, he's making tents with a couple of his buddies, Priscilla and Aquila. And they're partnering together and making tents in an unconditioned, unair-conditioned Ephesian workplace. And he's sweating like a pig. And people would come and say, hey, Paul, can you pray for me? I've got a friend who's oppressed by the enemy. And sometimes he'd be able to go, but other times Paul would just take his sweat rag. And he'd say, okay, dude, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take this and just go put it on him and say, in the name of Jesus, be free. And people were set free, not because of the magic sweat rags, but because of the prayer offered in faith under the submission of Jesus Christ. And Paul, during his lunch hour, he'd go and he'd meet with people in a lecture hall for 3 years, and he'd make disciples, but then he'd go back to work. It became known over time that Paul had connection with a God who had power over evil spirits. And people really wanted the idea of power. They would spend lots of money. If you can imagine going to like a farmer's market, and each of the people who is not selling pumpkins or yummy treats, but they're selling magic words or spells you can offer up to protect yourself, or spells you can make people fall in love with you, or spells to manipulate the spirit world. There are people, they just want the power. We cannot have any power in and of ourselves apart from a relationship submitted to God and doing what he says. There is no world where we get to exercise power as we want. That's the place where the enemy plays upon human frailty and our desire to be in control and to wreak havoc. You think, well, I'm going to be the benevolent. No, that's not how it works. Well, you're not. You don't. What about white witches? Well, white witches or black witches, whatever you happen to be. Witchcraft is engaging with the spiritual world apart from God. And that's why God said, this is forbidden for my people. And the reason it was forbidden is because no matter what the spirits may be telling you as you would connect with them, they are lying to you, because what they really want is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. So, Paul is taking authority over these evil spirits, and people are being healed, even by his sweat rags. And there's these seven sons of a Jewish exorcist. The guy's name is Sceva. We don't know the seven sons' name, but they are traffickers in exorcism. And they go around to these booths and they pay big money for the name that will be above every name. We know that name is Jesus, but back then it was, if you give me X amount of dollars or X amount of drachma, I'll give you a name. You can say this and the spirits have to obey you. And so these guys go, well, I don't really want to follow Jesus, but I really like to have some of the power. And so they go and, hey, I'm going to go. There's this really you know, guy who's very severely oppressed and he's acting out and beating people up. But we're going to go cast him out and make some bucks. And so these seven sons come. And I imagine they kind of stood like Inigo Montoya did when he was meeting Fezzik for the first time. And they say, hello, in the name of Paul, the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, you know, be set free. And they're waiting for it to happen. And the guy is standing there, and all of a sudden the evil spirit speaks through him and says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who the heck are you? And proceeded to beat them up and left them bloody, bruised, and naked. People heard that, and it's like, I don't think we should go to the bazaar anymore and buy stuff. It doesn't seem to work. You know what works? Relationship with Jesus Christ. And we don't go around looking for evil spirits, just like we don't go looking for, you know, I don't know if you happened to see on social media this last week, Tim Meredith had a picture up on Instagram, this is one of the best things about Instagram. One of his employees goes to sit down at his desk, little cup of coffee, and he looks down and there's a coiled rattlesnake underneath the desk with his head up. Hey, Tim! There's a rattlesnake under my desk. You're the boss. Deal with that. That's one of the bad things about being the boss. People expect you're going to know what to do. It's like, I'm calling my dad. Forget that. It's a mess. It's bad. And the enemy wants to steal from us, wants to kill us and to destroy us, and wants to get us to engage in some way, shape, or form with the spiritual world apart from Jesus. We don't go looking for those things. But when we do encounter them, in the name of Jesus, we can come against them and deal with it. You do not have to become a Bob Larson, if you want to take a flashback to the 70s and 80s, who is looking to call out demons by name and looking to, you know, make a big spectacle out of it. No, they want all the attention in the world. Jesus told them to shut up. He didn't want their testimony. For us, if we encounter that evil-spiritedness, we don't have to, you know, try it. What's the appropriate thing to say? It's like, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you speak in your spiritual language, that's a good time to use it. Okay? When you're feeling that feeling of, I don't know exactly how to put a finger on this, but there's something that's happening and it seems a little bit odd or weird or more than normal, that's a great time to start praying in the Spirit. Last night, Joni and I were sitting on our couch, as we like to do, and we're watching a TV show, also something we like to do, and all of a sudden there's this, and half of our room goes black, including the TV wall. And so being the master fixer of stuff that I am is like, Joey, yell for my son, Joey. And I'm walking around, it's like, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong here. I don't know what it is. And so I do know that there are fuses and there's a box outside. And if you go outside, there's like, you can tell if it's been tripped because it's like, hanging there like this instead of being, you know, standing at attention like it's supposed to. And I'm looking and I've got my sidekick, Joey, who's doing the work there with me looking at it. We've got the flashlight in there and there's nothing. And there's just like this. We couldn't find anything. We did a complete turn everything on. It didn't work. We're still trying to figure out what to do with it. But then Joni and I was like, oh, you know what? Let's just go to bed. It's late anyway. So we're laying there and all of a sudden as we're laying there, there's this sound. And it's kind of like this. And I'm thinking, I hear stuff all the time. I'm not thinking. Joni sits up. She says, you should go look and see what's going on. It wasn't like I had the goosebumps and I'm like, ooh. Or be under attack. But it's dark, and I forgot after when we got in bed that our night lights are plugged into the wall that's dead. And so all the night lights are out. And so it's super much dark in my room now. And I'm walking, and the enemy is like, ooh, you're afraid. I start speaking in my spiritual language. Because you know what? I had a fuse issue. And something funky's going on there. And probably when I'm done here, somebody's come up and say, well, you know what this is. And that's great. I'm glad you know that. I didn't. But the enemy wants to get us so consumed and caught up in fear that we leave behind the knowledge of Christ and our relationship with him, and that we get jerked around and intimidated and shut up. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be a target. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want, it's like, you know what? In Jesus' name, I want nothing to do with that. I hadn't planned on telling this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. When I was a kid, you know, in my early teens, one of the first jobs I had, in addition to delivering papers, was cleaning. I was a janitor, and my brother Johnny and I were janitor in this building that was a CPA's office. And back in college and after college, my dad had done taxes in the CPA office, and he said that in this place, the owners, you know, kind of entertained the fact that they had this evil spirit that, or they called it, it's just a ghost that walks the halls. And that he would pray when he was there, and there would be no walking and no, you know, sometimes they would even, you know, talk about, well, you know, there's sounds of cooking and smells of bacon and eggs and things like and there's nothing happening, but you can still smell it. And so Johnny and I are there by ourselves. It's late on a Saturday, and we're getting done. And he says, did you hear that? And it's like, did you hear what? And I'm standing in the office upstairs, and there's a coming up the stairs. And I went over to look, and there's nothing there. And I got super, like, on alert. And it's like, Holy Spirit says, this is the thing that your dad told you about. And I'm thinking, what did he tell me to do when this thing happens? I'm like, Johnny! And I grabbed his hand. And I'm probably 16. He's about 12. And we started to pray. And there's teenage praying when you're at church. I can tell you the different kind of praying that we engaged in at that moment. Jesus, in your name, and just say Jesus a lot. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke whatever that is. Whatever's causing that. While we're here, whenever we come in, this is Jesus's place. This is his ground. And I declare in Jesus' name a spiritual bubble around me and Johnny. And he's like, a big one, a big spiritual bubble around us. And he's praying in the spirit, and I'm praying in the spirit. It's like, so we refuse you permission. We rebuke you. We bind you in Jesus' name. There will be nothing. And the sound stopped and never came back. And there would be times where we would show up there, and they had named this thing Clara. And one of the guys, his name was Bob. And he said, oh, you guys are here. I just want you to know Clara's been making breakfast today. And I said, well, I think she's done now. And he left, and me and Johnny, we prayed. And there was nothing. I tell that story not to be sensationalistic or because it's Halloween. That's not it. I tell that story because it's an everyday occurrence that the enemy was trying to use to bring intimidation. Like, oh, we don't know what that was. No, I know what that is. It's attempt by the evil spirit to cause fear. And, well, you know, spiritists say, I'm not interested in what spiritists say. I know what the Word of God says. Word of God says I'm not to have anything to do with that. Not to play with it. This isn't something I'm supposed to approach. I don't want to watch horror movies because they make me think about things. I don't want to expose myself to this stuff. And again, no fingers pointed at you, but I can tell you, there are things that show up in horror movies that are demonically inspired, that are meant to train you and equip you for things of darkness. Our God does not want us to be acquainted in the dark arts. He wants us to be well acquainted and submitted to Jesus Christ, his son, to walk in freedom and to have victory over darkness, because what the enemy wants for us, again, steal, kill, and destroy. I ripped up my notes, so I don't really know where we're going with that. But our strength, our source of strength is in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Number two, you have to take a stand. Taking a stand is not a political statement. It's a willing to be where God told you to be and to stay there until he tells you to move. Be prepared. And Paul gets into put on the armor of God. We're not going to go into, well, here's what it looks like to put on the armor of God. Basically, it says with the armor of God, it's the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the gospel of peace, the sword of the spirit. You know, breastplate of righteousness. Be peaceful. Be truthful. Be righteous. Have faith. Be strong in the word of God. That helps you to take your stand. One of the other things that helps us to take our stand is to build our life upon something that's not shifting or it's not standing, not falling apart. Years ago, there was a bunch of houses in the Northwest that were sold. It looked beautiful houses, but they were built with shoddy foundations. And after 5 years, every single one of these houses in the subdivision that had been built had shifted so much that every house had to be condemned and the whole foundation redone. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, we can either build our house on the sand that is shifting and subject to storms and destruction, or we can build our house on the rock that is Christ, so that when the storms come, we will be able to remain standing. When a storm comes, it is not the evidence of a fact that Jesus is not in charge. When a storm comes, it's the evidence that we are walking on this planet. Jesus encountered storms and he had authority over those, and he had authority to navigate through them. And for us, when we live our life in obedience to Jesus Christ, we are living our life in a solid way. We don't have to have all the answers on how do I deal with the dark world? How do I do? All we have to know is I know Jesus and he knows me. The real enemy is not flesh and blood. It's very easy to point at a person and say, they're what's wrong. And maybe they're tools. Maybe they're being used. But I can tell you, you can be a Christian and be used by the dark one. When we gossip, when we slander, when we give full vent to our anger, when we engage in things that are not for us to be engaging in, we can be used by the enemy, or we can be used as a tool for good in Jesus' name. People are not the enemy. It is rulers and powers and authorities and dark forces of evil. Basically, there's an evil hierarchy. I don't want to get into what it is. It's just there. And when we're battling against evil, those are the things we're battling against. When God calls us to stand in his mighty power, the storm will come, the attack will come, but if we stand in the mighty power of God, we can remain standing. This does not mean, there's times where it does not mean that we're going to come away unscathed. Every single one of us, if Jesus does not come back first, is going to die. But the good thing about when we die, the enemy cannot do anything to us, living or dead. To be absent from this body is to be present with God. And when we see in Scripture in Revelation, it talks about we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, by the word of our testimony, what God's done in our life, and by not loving this life so much that we compromise, but that we'll even hold on to Jesus even if it costs us this life. Knowing the real enemy. The warfare we fight is a living, obedient, submitted life to Christ in the context of community. One of the primary weapons the enemy has used over this last 2 years, especially with the pandemic, is isolation. Isolation messes with our minds. It messes with our ability to connect. It messes with our ability to trust, our ability to begin to stretch out and grow. And you can think, well, that doesn't affect me. I can see in places where it's had an effect on us, and we're trying to shake that off and to resist it, not in my strength, but in the strength that comes from Jesus. Very rarely does the enemy show up on your front door. Hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to destroy. You know, if you've got any areas specifically you'd like me to avoid, let me know. He shows up, and it looks like an opportunity. It looks like something that's attractive. The landmines he plants are ones that are meant to completely derail us. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians that says one of the ways we attack the or we stand against the enemy is we learn to take every thought captive. What does that mean? It means every time a thought runs through my head, I get to take it and compare it to what does the Word of God say. That sounds laborious. It's a lot better, and it is laborious, but it's a lot better than giving way to those evil thoughts. And just, I guess that's what I am. We sing songs specifically addressed to remind us, who you say that I am, Jesus. Lauren Daigle's song, You Say. This is who you say I am. When I hear that I'm no good, when I hear that I'm nothing, when I hear that I'm going to fail, when I hear that it'll never be enough, I can take that and say, that's not what Jesus says to me. Over and over and over, Jesus gives us what we need to deal with wickedness when it shows up, to deal with what is wrong and evil when it shows up. we're not to go looking for it. We're not to go to mess with it. There's even a spot that says, there's a point when it says in the book of Jude that the devil shows up. Because, you know, Moses back in the day was supposed to go into the promised land. He disobeyed God and was not allowed to go into the promised land. He got to see it instead. And then God killed him or allowed him to die and buried him. The devil showed up on that mountain, the book of Jude says. And the devil says, I'm here for Moses because he's a sinner. And an angel who would have been most likely, it's the one who's going to throw the devil into the lake of fire eventually, stands up and he says, in the name of the Lord, I rebuke you. He didn't say, oh yeah, you're going to fight me for it. He says, in the name of the Lord. He doesn't try and take the battle here against the forces of darkness, even though that angel is a very powerful angel. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord God, I rebuke you. That's where our authority is. That's where our place of safety is. That's where our connection is. That's where our community is. That's where the light is in Jesus' name. And if you don't know what to do, I don't want you to leave today feeling, oh no, I'm afraid. There may be things that you are experiencing in your home or in places that you go where there's that fear of and trepidation and worry. Let me tell you, you can go through your home and you can pray that God would fill your home with his peace and his joy, that he would set a guard on each window and door, and that nothing of evil will come into your house. If you would like to have a copy of a prayer you can pray, there's no charge for it. And here's the punchline. No, I will send you this, because in many ways, it's almost like a legal document. Here's what the Lord God says you can do and what you can't. And as his legal representative, that's what we are, in Jesus' name, we get to declare you have no authority here in Jesus' name. Nothing that you would bring towards us. You can go through that and pray it. If you don't know what to say when fear would strike you, you think, I just want to say the right thing. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Say Jesus. Begin to speak in your spiritual language. Pray that he will fill you with what you need at that moment. And if you do nothing else but call on Jesus, that's enough. I taught my kids this. I teach my grandkids this all the time. It's the first thing I say. When you're scared, what do you say? Jesus. Jesus. I love it. My almost four-year-old granddaughter's talking to Owen, my five-year-old grandson, and they're talking about something. And Mila says, Owen, you got to do this because of God and Jesus and church. And he says, okay. They don't have a greatly developed theology, but they understand I can call upon God in Jesus' name and stand in my community together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you that we know you, but more importantly, that you know us. May we focus on the fact that you're the one who has... You are the victor. You have victory over darkness, and we are with you. We are walking with you on your mission. May we not be caught up in the pressure or the temptation to play with darkness or to discount it or to turn our back on it or to think it's nothing. But may we also not go to the opposite extreme and indulge it. Lord, keep us close to you. Keep us filled with your spirit. Keep us knowing you in everything. In Jesus' name. With nobody looking around, I don't want to embarrass you, but as I've been talking, if there's an area where you're dealing with fear, especially when it comes to darkness or evil, I just would invite you to lift up your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see hands up around this room. I speak your life, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ who came in the flesh, we would plead your blood over each person's home, over each person's life, over each person's relationships. Lord, we rebuke the enemy. We command them to be gone and to be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you would fill each of these people's hearts and their minds and their mouths with your name in that moment. Not as something that is a superstitious thing, but as the one who we call upon as our present help in a time of need. And we pray this in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. Amen. You are equipped because of what Jesus has done with the power to stand in his name by according to his power and his might. Number 6 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So you will put his name on yourselves and he will bless you. We declare that over ourselves today, that we live and walk blessed by you because we are your people and you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen. There's prayer available in the back by the trellis back here. God bless you. We're heading into Thanksgiving month. Next week, we're talking about thankfulness and Thanksgiving and cultivating that. So God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.